Folks, welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And ladies and gentlemen, today we want to continue a series of interviews on homosexuality and a deliverance from the sin of homosexuality. In just a moment, Brian and Pam will be with me on this edition of Generations, continuing the broadcast from yesterday as we hear the incredible story of what happened as Brian was delivered from the lifestyle of homosexuality. And friends, we complain about the destruction all around us on this program. We're constantly referring to the breakdown of the family and the massive increase in homosexuality, the huge increase in children born without fathers, some 42% now, up from 6% in 1960. And homosexuality, of course, a symbol of the breakdown of the father-son relationship, the mother-son relationship, the parent-child relationship. The homosexuality being an indication of the breakdown of morality, a breakdown of sexuality, a breakdown of the family. Homosexuality being one of the preeminent quintessential descriptive sins that describes the present age and the destruction around us. So as we see that Western civilization is dying and our social systems are coming apart, as we describe destruction, we must describe the redemption that God gives us in the midst of these horrific times of destruction. As society collapses around us, there are some great stories where God reaches in and redeems and reconciles individuals and families to himself. Now, we've got to seriously grapple with the horrific nature of sin. It's entrapping, it's enslaving, it's damning, it's destructive, it's nightmarish, and we describe these things on this program. And granted, there are some pastors out there that refuse to engage the sin of homosexuality, and they refuse to call these men and women to repentance. They don't want to describe sin and its horrific character, how destructive it is, how damning it is to those who are captured within these lifestyles. These wimpy little pastors are afraid to deal with the damning nature of sin because they can't deal with the powerful redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. So we have to preach with equal force the marvelous deliverance, the incredible redemption, the release, the wonderful change that happens when the cross of Jesus Christ reaches a man and delivers him from the guilt and the power of that sin that attracts in him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the story we're telling today on this edition of Generations. We bring Brian and Pam back on in just a moment. Brian and Pam will be with us to talk about how Brian was delivered from the lifestyle of homosexuality. That next on Generations.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Folks, we're back on the Generations broadcast as once again we talk about the freedom that God gives to us as he frees us from the bonds of sin. It doesn't matter who you are, friend. It doesn't matter if your sin was the problem of fornication, pornography, homosexuality, might be lying, it might be greed, it might be bitterness. Boy, there are so many sins, but Jesus, by his death and resurrection, delivers us from these things and he makes us free indeed. And that's really the theme of today's interview with Brian and Pam as we talk about Brian's great deliverance from the lifestyle of homosexuality. And we'd like to welcome Pam onto the radio program now. Pam, good to have you with us.
good to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Pam, why don't we just talk a little bit about your perspective? I mean, how did you and Brian meet?
We actually met at a church function.
Okay.
It was a Christmas party, mm-hmm. and we met on the dance floor.
Oh, okay. Okay, great, great. And that's always a safe place to meet, in a church, in the dance floor. Yeah, exactly. Good. And this was six, seven years ago, I guess.
Yeah, it was about almost 8 years ago.
Almost 8 years ago. Okay, very good. God has blessed you with two children and a wonderful marriage. Now, did Brian tell you about his past right away or as you got to know each other?
He waited until he knew that I was definitely the one. And we, you know, we pretty much, it was about 8 months into our, or 7 months into our relationship, and we knew we were going to get married.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he finally told me, because he didn't want to tell me, or he didn't want to not tell me before he proposed, because
yeah, right, sure,
he
sure.
felt like this was something that I should know before I made that decision, in case that was something that really bothered me,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he actually, you know, he took me away. We went to a nice spot, and I almost thought he was going to propose. But he told me, and it was amazing. It was mm-hmm. like God was preparing my heart for such a long uh-huh. time
right.
to hear it, because it didn't faze me. I mean, uh-huh. you would think that was the last thing that, you know, a woman would want to hear from uh-huh. her boyfriend, but it was, God had been working on me so much that it was kind of, it was like, okay, yeah, you have a past, I have a past, uh-huh. we both have a past, and,
right.
and, you know, yours is really no different than mine. It's just,
so you took it into perspective. Hey, you're a sinner too. Jesus has forgiven you, and Jesus has forgiven him. So now I guess you're going to have to forgive him too.
Exactly. Exactly. And I felt like, you know, it was just a relief to know, to hear the whole story, you know, mm-hmm. because he'd been kind of alluding to it, you know, about mm-hmm. how he had something that he wanted to tell me, and he has a past and all this stuff. And I just wanted to know, what is it? You know,
right,
just
sure,
go ahead and
sure.
tell me, just, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
And yeah, it really, I think, what did I say after the talk?
Yeah, so she said, okay, that's it, huh? Okay, she said, okay, do you want to go get ice cream?
Yeah.
And my heart dropped, and I said, that's it? Do you want to get ice cream? She's like, yeah. That's when she said, you know, well, I have a past too. And you know, she said to me, she says, I see where you are now in your life, and I see the godly man that you are now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, who am I to judge you, or something like that. So, mm-hmm. she, you know, she said that maybe I'll have some more questions for you, but let's go get some ice cream. And I was
right.
just like, ice cream, okay, let's go. You know, uh-huh. I couldn't believe how well she took it.
So, Pam, you looked at him as a new creature. You said, okay, that was the old creature. Now I've got a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new.
That guy, yeah. that old guy was dead.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So how has it been along the way? Yeah, you got a marriage, you've got conflicts, you've got issues to deal with every day, and you just cultivate the relationship, I guess. Is that pretty much the way it works?
Yeah, I mean, we have the best relationship, and I think, I'm not just saying that. we don't fight. We're so similar uh-huh. to each other. There's no
yeah.
point in fighting. You know,
yeah.
there. You know,
okay.
we both have the same, you know, downfalls and yeah. everything. And so, we really like. There's definitely challenges that we mm-hmm. go through, and you know, as anyone does, and
sure.
financial issues
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But
mm-hmm.
we're really on the same page, and our relationship could not be better. And I think people see it when they see our relationship, that maybe it's because of what we've both been through and how much we know about each other and how far we've come that it just, I couldn't ask for more in a husband.
Well,
I really couldn't.
That's obviously God has blessed you incredibly with a marriage and with your children.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Does your husband still struggle? I mean, do you see him struggle from time to time?
I mean, I don't see him struggling in the area of sexual sin, but you know, in you know, in just every day struggles with his job and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. But he's very devoted to God, and he, you know, he does his devotion every morning, and he's very faithful to that. And when I see that, mm-hmm. I can't really question that he's struggling, because I really feel if you're praying and you're reading your Bible and you have that connection with God, I don't believe that you'll...
That's critical.
I don't think that you can struggle the same way that somebody who doesn't have that connection.
Right, right. If you start to see that relationship with God slipping, kind of, you know, going into first gear and into reverse, then you know there's a problem.
In other words, then I would worry.
Right. Right. Any moments of mistrust, though? I mean, I think there are people wondering, you know, what it would be like to be married to a restored man who comes out of a lifestyle of homosexuality. Is it any crises in terms of trust or anything like that?
Absolutely not. There's never been. He's very open with me about things, and he's told me. In the past, when he's talked to somebody and he'll admit, like, you know, I found that person attractive, you know, or, you know, he's so open about it that I could never think that he would be keeping mm-hmm. something from me.
Right.
I totally trust him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And your relationship, your intimacy is good.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. That's what it's all about.
Too much detail.
Yeah. You know, but if you think about it, that's what we get in Proverbs chapter 5. I mean, my co-host always brings Proverbs chapter 5 out. We're warned about adultery. But then we say we're to delight with the wife of our youth. You know, I mean, there's something positive here, right? I mean, it's not just don't you. It's also, hey, let's cultivate a good intimacy in the marriage.
Yeah, and I think that started really when we were engaged, because when we were dating, actually, we decided that we weren't going to kiss. Mm-hmm. We weren't going to do anything until we got engaged. Mm-hmm. And we did kiss on our engagement day. That was our first kiss.
Mm-hmm.
But even after that, we kind of decided until the wedding, we weren't going to kiss anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Brian had really made that promise to God before he even met me, that mm-hmm. if he met the right girl, that, well, any girl really, that he was not going to get physical because mm-hmm. of his past.
Right.
And when I met him, that was a blessing to me because of my sexual past.
Sure. Sure. So all of this really represents a life of repentance.
Right.
And God blesses that repentance, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah. It's just when men and women do it wrongly, they don't play by his rules, and they just try to do it their own way, that they're going to wind up in misery, in guilt and misery. But you get on the path of repentance, start playing by God's rules. Hey, God blesses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And God has blessed us abundantly.
Amen. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to encourage those of you interested in contacting our friends today. We just get in touch with Brian and Pam at freeindeed111@gmail.com. That's the email, especially for those who are struggling with this issue. There is room at the cross for everybody. There's forgiveness. There's redemption there. There's opportunity for repentance and that life of repentance. And I think that's the encouragement on this edition of Generations. Brian, Pam, anything more to add on this program?
Just to, you know, anybody that's, you know, listening, just to keep praying for the people that are struggling with this lifestyle, because it's kind of the one, I guess, sin or lifestyle that I feel is still so unreached by the church in general, and I just see so much need out there, and just, you know, for strength, for Pam and I to pray about, you know, I guess whether we should go more public with our, you know, ministry opportunity in this, because it's something that we see as God really, really blessing us in a way that we can't even put into words, and we just wonder, you know, if our story, you know, can and should be used to glorify Him and just to pray for those many, many people that are out there that don't know the Lord, whether they're in this lifestyle or any lifestyle not pleasing to God, but particularly this one, because it's just so so encompassing, just you know, for just this country, this world, just to come together to pray for those that are really still in, you know, struggling here.
You know, last week I was preaching on 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, where you've got the guy who was caught in incest in the church, and you talk about the ick factor. According to Paul, the ick factor was very high. Gentiles wouldn't even want to speak about the kind of sin that was happening in the Corinth church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, but in 2 Corinthians 2, we have Paul just opening his arms, embracing this man, and saying, bring him in, forgive him, bring him in, you know, and my message was, hey, you know, we're here to forgive, we're here to embrace. Anybody is walking away from any sin at all, man, we're here, and we can hardly wait to embrace the next guy repenting of incest, homosexuality, you name it, you know, that's what the Church of Christ is all about. And there are a lot of Gentiles that may have a hard time embracing some of these folks, but we will. That's the aroma of Christ. That's the nature of the church itself. So that's I think what Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where we see the reconciliation happening.
And to welcome them, like you said, just welcoming them in, and to know that it takes time and it takes, you know, patience for those that might be ministering to realize that this is a real tough, you know, lifestyle and way to break free from. And, and for those that are might be struggling, that might see that God really has a different plan for them in their life, to realize that, you know what, don't start thinking about, well, gee, I'm gay and I want to repent of this. But don't think, well, you know, I can't imagine myself being straight. Don't even think about that, because that's just going to stumble you. Because, you know what, it's about a matter of being restored to God. And you know what, God can do all things, you know, through Christ and through his healing. But we can't think about, well, gee, I want to become straight. That's not the goal. The goal is to be reconciled to Christ and for him to do what he pleases in your life. And I truly and totally believe that this miracle can be possible for any and every person that struggles with this, certainly not just me.
And the relationship of repentance and forgiveness is very interesting. You have first step to repentance, there's some forgiveness there. There's another step, another more forgiveness. You know, there's the forgiveness and repentance play off in each other. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians 2, it's very interesting there. He says, hey, offer the guy forgiveness. But Paul never really spoke to the guy. He just assumed the guy was repenting and was sorrowful over his sin. And Paul's admonition is, hey, you know, if there's some note of sorrow, hey, great, let's just embrace the guy, let's forgive him, let's get on track here with rebuilding these relationships. And he wasn't waiting for, you know, 16 years of penance before he brought this guy back into the church. And I think that's instructive there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2.
Yeah, that's very wise, wise advice.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. And you know, we know that this is possible. We just need to be praying for these people and really encouraging them to repent. And repentance means run the other way. Don't just, you know, casually leave it. Just run the other way.
Yeah. And you may fall and scrape your knee, but hey, get back up and keep running. And that's really your life for the last 10 years.
It really is. You know, I fell especially harder in the beginning, but you know what? I know. And Lord God, give me strength to never fall now. But if I did, God forbid I did now, I know that, you know, I'd immediately run back to him. And I'm even talking just if I, you know, went to look at something on the computer that I shouldn't or something like that, you know. You know, I know that we got to pick it up and we got to go right back to Christ. We can't sit there and let that derail our faith, because you know what? Especially in the beginning, but even if it's years into your walk with the Lord that you do fall or you do have a sin that becomes an issue again, you know, don't let that become so overpowering to you that you wallow in guilt and become depressed, because that becomes a whole nother way of falling away from the Lord. You really need to just immediately jump back up, get back on the wagon again and commit yourself to Christ. Be accountable to others around you. Get people in your church or to come alongside you, to be able to call. And I found it very helpful to write out my prayer requests and my commitment on paper, you know, in a journal to Christ and pray through these things and just get accountable. That's a huge part of it, and repentance as well.
Yeah, you've been snatched out of the trap. I mean, it's sort of like somebody who just got, you know, dumped into the cold, icy waters of some North Atlantic Ocean. And he just, you know, pulled out. He, you know, what happened to me? Whoa. And then he gets the videotape later, you know. That's me? Oh, man! You know, you see the 60-foot waves around you and all that, and, you know, the rescue helicopter and all the rest. Like, oh, man! That's incredible.
That's what I look at when I look at these guys. Like I said, we've been in touch with, you know, two or three guys that are still in that lifestyle, and their lives are a complete mess. These are guys that I was dating at one point, and their lives couldn't be more disastrous. And they're just, in talking to them, and you could just see how how sinful they are, not just not to judge them, but like, I mean, every other word's a curse word anyway, just because their entire lives are just based in the flesh.
Yeah.
And they've been acting it out for all these years. And I talk to them and I go, my gosh, I could have stayed on that path. Like, where would my life be? I'd be miserable and depressed and more so. And I look now at where I am and, you know, God has been blessing us so much and with the family, but, you know, we're also just remodeling our house right now, and people have come out of the woodwork to help us, and our main contractor is doing it for free. He felt God tell him to help us remodel our house. He's not even charging us to do the work on our house. I mean, this, Kevin, I can't even, this could, we could have 18 series about what God is doing on our lives. You know, seriously, it's incredible. And I go, God, you are blessing us so beyond what we deserve. And sometimes I think he's doing it to make an example of us. More so than he needs to, just to see people outside, you know, because people can't deny it when they see it. They go, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Like, that's happening to you? And what? It's like, it's crazy.
Ryan, you've described the Christian life in wonderful, wonderful terms. I mean, this is the Christian life. And it doesn't matter who's sinning in what area. This is the description of the Christian life. And I believe this program is going to be very effective for thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people who every single one of them, guaranteed, deal with sin. Every single one deal with sin. And they need to be delivered from the guilt and the power of that sin over their lives as well. And the story you have told is a very powerful story, a demonstration of the power of Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to be in contact with Brian and Pam, it's freeindeed111@gmail.com. Well, thanks so much, Brian and Pam, for joining us on Generations Today.
Thank you for
having us. Thank you so much for having us, Kevin. God bless you guys and your ministry.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what a wonderful interview with Brian and Pam relating to the deliverance from the homosexual lifestyle. Friends, it would be a wonderful thing to see pastors embrace this message of repentance and faith instead of the mealy-mouthed approach to homosexuality that seems to come out of so many evangelicals today. Hey, this is the kind of approach to homosexuality where there's repentance involved. It's a bloody affair. It's scraping the knees. It's falling down. It's getting back up. It's engaging the battle. It's living the life of faith and repentance before God. This is what's being described here concerning the sin of homosexuality. Hey, the rest of us have to repent as well, friends, over other sins. So this is the story of the Christian life. This is the story lived by Brian and Pam, of course, and myself. This is the story of deliverance from the sin of homosexuality. It's possible. It can happen. It has happened. And this is the story of what Jesus did when he died on the cross for those sins to deliver us from the guilt and the power of that sin over us. It can happen. And by God's grace, I hope this story goes out to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, as Brian expresses the blessing that God has brought on his life as God delivered him from the sin and then blessed him with a wonderful family. Well, folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.